Good morning,
Kathy. We're just going to give it a moment for Paula to join and anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
How's the weather, Kathy?
Oh, well, yesterday, as I told Donner, it was actually too hot to even go out by the pool.
That's too bad. Too bad.
Yeah, I know. It was. And today's the high's only going to be, 70 today, so it's cooled off quite a bit today.
Turn on the heat.
Yeah, I know it. I know it. It's crazy.
Morning, Paula.
Hi.
Hi, Paula.
Oh. Is there an agenda this morning? I could not find it. But that doesn't mean I didn't
get it.
You didn't get it?
No. When did you send it? Oh,
I didn't
nobody
get it.
9:10? Let me see.
Last night? I checked first
yeah.
this morning because I didn't see it last night. Let's see.
Okay.
Didn't some... Can you resend... Can you, I don't have anything from last night.
No, last thing
okay.
was at 2:50 from Rick Skoranka, 2:58.
Yeah, just hit resend again on it. That would be great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Hang on, just bringing up Outlook.
Yeah, so Donna?
Yes?
I sent a reply to you for Dorothy, and basically I just took the paragraph from Executive Order 83 that explained that the officers will stay in their current positions until the annual meeting and that spending can occur as long as it's within reason based on last year's expenditures. So
okay.
So that it was actually the verbiage from the executive order.
Okay.
You could just send her that paragraph.
Yeah, just she said, what happens to Paula? Her term would normally end at the annual meeting.
Yeah.
Will she be staying on? But that we can't answer whether she'll be staying on yet. She has not decided. I don't know what she meant. Will we be having any shortfalls before the new meeting day? But
no,
I don't think
we will. Well, I'll wait till the meeting starts to ask my questions.
Yeah.
Is anybody dying on this morning?
Not yet.
Okay, there it is. Missing subject. Do you want to send this message? Oh, subject title.
You don't need a title. Oh,
yeah.
just send it.
Yeah.
We know what it is.
Yeah, because I remember writing the words, it's going to be a busy day.
Okay,
you got it?
Maybe you turned off your computer before I got through. Mine does, my hotmail does that. You have to wait.
You didn't put a subject in, so it was asking you a question, so you assumed it went when it didn't.
Oh,
yeah.
That's probably what it was. Okay, we got it. Good.
All right.
But I just got a ton of emails as I opened up my computer here from last night.
Yeah,
all right.
There you go.
Anyhow, we'll call the meeting to order at 9:03, and I'll make a motion that we approve the agenda. Do I have a second to the motion?
I'll second that.
I
think Kathy beat Paula. Now, all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay. So we got a lot on the agenda today. We got a 10:15.
Just to be on notice, I will be taking minutes again. So, Donna.
Okay.
You can do your work, Donna. Okay.
That's all right. Cool. We do have a 10:15 with Peter up at number 9 Reinhardt. We
mm-hmm.
also will have a non-public after the meeting to review one of our employees. And okay. Going to jump right into Section 3. The Reinhardt Tank Project is nothing to report today. Of course, we're on the winter hiatus. We got water reports. We got the Granite State Analytical Test results for many chemicals that were tested recently. Thank you. And all had passed. No decisions to be made there, no concerns, unless anyone, again, I may just be flying over some of these things. So, Kathy and Paula, if you want to stop me on any one of these, please feel free, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
All right. We'll go right to Mr. Robitel, DPW report. And Kelly wants to buy a hot dog.
An expensive hot dog at that.
Yeah.
I don't know these things, but I was expecting more. I'm still waiting for one more quote to come back, but it would be a good comparison. I was expecting to be more up around five.
Yeah. I reached out to Dan and asked him the same question. I said, is this to completely replace the existing furnace? He said, yes, it's even a tad oversized.
Yeah, and the key to it was I volunteered to take away what's there. So that cut a lot off the cost as far
okay.
as the piping and the existing heaters. He'll take them down, but we'll do the removal of all the piping and anything that has to come down for that. That saves him a lot of work, but I was kind of surprised. It looked good.
So I just want to jump in on that heater proposal. The one proposal we got so far is, so it was listed at 125,000 BTU input. So just by comparison, my house used to have 100,000 BTU input. Output is different based on efficiency, but you're basically getting 80,000 BTU. It's an 80%. Roughly 80% efficiency. So it does throw the air 56 feet, which will get it to the other side of your garage. But my question is, you know, this is not a house which is nice and tight. Most of them are these days. This is a garage that has got probably raccoons that can get in some of the holes that are in the sidewall. But I guess my question is, Kelly, you think that's going to be enough to keep that garage warm enough if there are any pipes on either end that could possibly freeze up?
There's two units, one on each corner.
Yeah, but he's only putting in one, right?
That's not what I told him.
Oh.
That's why I questioned that, too, for the very same reason.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I saw. It's just one unit, because I went and looked at the price of the unit online. They're about $2,100 at a cheap price.
No, that was not the case. I said we're replacing the existing units, one in each corner.
And I think that'd be good for redundancy in case one of the units fails to have the backup.
Well, that's just to move the air. It's going to be, like you said, to reach across that room. And
yeah.
We actually looked at which direction they'd be aiming. And
yeah.
I don't know. That's why I guess I didn't look at the quote closely enough. But it was just got it in an email. But, my understanding was two units.
Okay, yeah, specifically, I don't know if, Kathy, you saw the same thing. It said specifically one.
And I said to him, I said, geez, maybe I should have put that in my house instead of that $6,000 furnace he put in 3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
But no, I questioned that too. It didn't seem adequate for that garage. So maybe if you want, do you want me to do it, Kelly, or do you want to reach out to Dan?
I can do it. Because he measured the whole building and he did the whole lineup, so I'm very surprised he went that way, unless he had another idea after the fact, but it's not something he talked about.
And maybe he had somebody in his office write up the quote and then they misunderstood and put one instead of two, so, you know, maybe just for verification to reach out to him.
Yeah, it'd be good.
I think just to not to cross any lines, I think I should do it.
Okay, that's fine.
Yeah, because you're going to be talking with other vendors, and so that everybody's on the same page.
Exactly. And Kelly knows the size of the building, so yeah. And the thing is, too, we unfortunately, because this is a unusual expenditure, we probably can't do anything until after the annual meeting. So we may not be able to do this till midsummer.
Well, his recommendation was sooner than later, because if he gets a call in the middle of the night, then we have no heat.
He's
weeks out. I think we're pushing some barriers, but I don't know.
I mean,
at the 3,000, I thought it was immediate doing. If we're going to double that, then we'll have to rethink it.
Yeah.
Let me get the specifics.
Okay.
I'll call him today.
What else you got, Kelly? I saw you were out treating roads today.
It's a constant effort. We got that little nuisance snow yesterday that we ended up chasing around most of the morning. Again, it's just a matter of keeping the sand down and keeping on it. Everything's working properly. We're out in the backhoe. We put the plow blade on the backhoe today. We're going to push back some more banks and keep ready for the next one, but it's slow. Snow-wise, anyway.
Okay.
Well, I got plenty of work. It's just waiting on snow.
Okay. And how are the trucks running? Everything good?
Trucks are running great. Everything's
good.
Wonderful.
Good. And so you've been using some more salt, even though it doesn't look like we've had much snow, mm-hmm. but you've had to. So how are we doing on salt?
I'm going to order some more, but I'm trying to use what we have because it's been in there for 2 years. It's really chunky.
Okay.
So I'm trying to get to the back of the pile. I can have a delivery within a day, so I'm not worried about it.
Okay.
We have enough for one more storm.
Yep.
But I'd really like to get that moved over to the side so we can get it used.
All right.
But we are due. When I order, I'm ordering two loads.
Two loads.
Back up.
Okay. That's a good idea.
And we did get more sand the other day, four more loads. We've got to keep on that constantly.
All right. Kathy, Paula, do you have anything for Kelly?
No, nothing.
Okay.
Time of year.
All right.
And maybe, I mean, we kind of discussed this in non-public about the fact that since the Reinhardt tank is the project's pretty much shut down for the season, and it doesn't seem like from the rest of the agenda there's any necessity for Kelly to waste his time sitting in the meeting for two more hours. So I don't know if the other two of you agree with that.
Yeah, well, the one thing I thought about was on 10:15 when we connect with Peter, we do have under the ordinance the authorization or the authority to go ahead and grant a waiver to hook him up to the water system outside of the prohibited time period of October 1st to May 1st.
Uh-huh.
Now, obviously, that conversation would involve Kelly's opinion of whether he can break the ground with his backhoe to get to the pipe. And so I guess...
I can just tell you now, no.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, you can tell us now and leave. If that's the question from this resident at number 9 is that he be tied in to the old water system out of the old pump house mm-hmm. so that he can have water currently. And obviously to do that would require breaking ground and getting access to that water main coming out of the old pump house. And so the question to you would be, can that ground be broken with the equipment that you have?
I just off the cuff, I'd say no. We wouldn't know until we actually tried to see where the frost line is, but I think you guys, I'm just saying, you've got bigger fish to fry before you go digging in the ground.
Yep, no, just...
This is a much bigger decision than whether we can dig it or not, but no, I'd lean against it.
Okay.
We can always rent an excavator and bring it up there. I can operate it, but now you're talking a lot more money than us doing it.
Yeah, and that cost would be borne by the residents. Wanting this temporary patch.
Yeah, but when you get into renting equipment and all that, I would definitely defer to let him and Ian figure that out. And if Ian thinks he could rent an excavator big enough or strong enough to do it, then leave all that between the two of them and not get our DPW involved in that.
No, I'm just saying that if there are added costs like ledge blasting and new pavement replacement, I would see this as an extra cost because this is outside of the scope of the ordinance and mm-hmm. unanticipated as a normal hookup. So I just want to make sure that Kelly has the opportunity to share his opinion as to his mm-hmm. capability, mm-hmm. And then we can add that comment when we talk to Peter in just about an hour from now.
Okay. Okay.
Okay.
All right. Yep.
All right.
Yep.
Anything else, Kelly?
I had a question. Oh, I had something for Kelly.
Yeah,
I'm just looking before we leave on the payroll this week. So there's a lot of overtime, obviously. We had that storm on Sunday, the 16th or 15th into 16th. which I see. You guys are putting in, I mean, you put in 15 hours of overtime for Saturday and then 4 for Sunday. Isn't there a limit to how many hours you can work in a certain period? Like, I just want to be clear that we're following the right rules in terms of operating the equipment and stuff. Is that?
A few years ago, we set a limit at 20 hours.
In a row?
Yeah, it was lower than that at some point, but with proper breaks, it was a 20-hour before we had to take a 4-hour nap, pretty much. Just in comparison, the state has no limit, and other towns have no limit. We instituted a limit years ago when we had a lot of part-timers that could fill in so we could leave and come back, but that didn't ever work out. The part-timers made it twice as hard for us to get the job done, so prior commission moved it up to 20 before we had to take a 4-hour.
Okay.
Yeah, the other thing that actually occurred this year is because of the pandemic and the limited number of snowplow drivers, the governor has waived the federal regulations against the number of hours that anyone can drive in a continuous span. There's just, you see the signs on the highways asking for plow drivers. They just don't have enough. And the ones that they do have, some of those individuals are getting sick and they're out of service. So I guess we could ride under that executive order by the governor. But you're right, Paul, or it is a concern. Because the guys do get tired, obviously, and we don't want them to jeopardize their safety.
It's amazing. You don't get tired until you stop. When you're in plow mode, you can go, and you don't even notice it. It's when you stop and you sit around that you get tired. So, but we're very cautious. We if someone needs a break, we have no problem telling the other guy, hey, I need a break. I'll see you in a couple hours, and we're really cautious about it.
Okay. And then there was some overtime on Thursday, the following Thursday, which was a week ago. I'm just curious what that was from. We didn't have a storm. So, I mean, I know sometimes it snows a little and we don't. If you know offhand what that was from.
2 hours.
Yeah, my God.
Yeah, 2 hours, I think.
Isn't that the ice day?
You had to go back out and stand, I thought.
I know.
Yeah. That was probably it then.
Yeah, I know I got a call from residents.
Oh, so you did get a call to the office?
Okay. I did. He called early, but Kelly had already done it. That was on Lucerne.
Okay. Yeah, 2 hours on Thursday.
Okay, thank you.
You're gonna see that here and there. I
understand. I'm just asking. I just want to keep track of it because I think we just should have a record of it. That's all. I'm not challenging it. I'm just asking what it was from. That's all.
I write it on my time card. Jeff writes it on his. If we got to come in for anything, we'll jot down ice storm, snowstorm.
Okay. Okay. I didn't realize he had a record of that. All right. I can just ask Donna in the future then. Okay. Thank you.
All right. I guess that's all we got for you. We're going to have to call you. Are you going to be available after this meeting?
Okay. We'll be talking probably closer to 11 o'clock, or are we going to do it right at, or are we going to do it at the complete end of the meeting?
Complete end of the meeting, and I'm hoping that it gets over by 11, because I'll pull my hair out, what's left of my hair, if it doesn't. All right. I'm going to jump right into administrator report. Donna, that's you. The certified letter for the water shutoffs, did that letter go out yet?
No. I went to get to it yesterday, but something came up that I couldn't.
Okay. And then the questions for the auditor. Those questions, are we supposed to fill out that form here in handwriting or do it electronically?
I would say just to have it available whichever way you can for the auditor.
Okay. All right. Okay. And then we have... You brought up something else. There was another 91A request from Adam Leiser. I'm sorry. I'm talking about the status. So this is with the 35 or plus that October 2nd request. And so I had sent you a bunch of photographs that I had.
Yeah, and I'm going to forward those along to Adam.
Okay. And then I had gone through the list, and I know I listed them in red. It doesn't show up on your printer, but I listed where the status of each one of those are.
Okay, I will get to them.
Yeah, and some of them, there's just no documentation.
Okay, so as long as I know that, I can answer that.
And then there was one, I believe, on driveway permits. He wanted to see all driveway permits from one date to an end date, and I guess they would be here. I wouldn't have those.
Okay, if they're in the computer, I think.
Yeah. And then...
So, Jay, isn't there a log that lists all the driveway permits so at least we can identify the lot number and find it? Okay.
Yeah. No, absolutely. Yeah.
Okay.
But I, again, the thing that I want to emphasize here is the, first of all, the amount of time that Donna has had to put into this. And have you been, I don't know if you've been keeping track of these hours.
I have on the back of my paper.
Okay.
But I, to be honest, I haven't had time to work on it.
Yep.
And,
yep. I've taken on some of those. And I'll tell you, going through my phone to try to find photographs, in which I probably have 3,000 photographs, because I don't want to miss anything.
Jake, you didn't submit those photos to the office. They're not public documents. You don't have to produce those.
That is correct.
If they were not part of minutes, they were not sent to anybody. You're just driving around taking photos. You're not required to produce those. I don't think those are just personal photos on your phone. So
yeah, and that is true. I did consult with the lawyer because there were many other requests that Adam had made of my personal correspondence to you, Paula, before you became a commissioner, and to other individuals, private citizens here in the Village District, my private email, and the lawyer said exactly what you stated. If it did not go through the office.
So why are you sending all these photos to the office? I don't understand.
Yeah. So he did say that my private phone or these photographs could be obtained if a search warrant, I guess, not search warrant, but another term, is used, if he gets that, and I'll have to, so I'm just producing them up. I have no problem showing him these photographs. So I did that, but all the other documentation, I went through my computer history, trying to find these using keywords and searches and everything else. And I'll tell you, it's taken me a ton of hours.
I would have waited for the subpoena. I'm just telling you what I think. I mean, we have to produce what we have as public documents. You can give them anything you want, but you guys are complaining about how long this is taking, and you're producing stuff you don't have to produce. Wait for the subpoena from the court if he wants to subpoena everything. Wait for it.
Yep.
Then you can do it. That's all I'm suggesting. Let's get this thing off our table, guys. Send him what we have, and let's move on. I mean, come on.
Right.
We got to get this over with. I hear you, but we're following the lawyer's advice. We're sending what we have. Period.
But now that I've sent these photographs to the office, they are now public record.
I understand that. Now they are. Now you got to send them. I'm just saying, in the future, guys.
Yeah, because if you remember, both Kathy and Paul, I've sent other photographs of some of these projects prior. So I wanted to make sure to the office.
No, I understand.
I wanted to make
sure
I got those.
Then the office should have them. If they search their email for photos or stuff from Jay or whatever, however they search their email, if the email search doesn't turn it up, then it's not there. I mean.
Right. So going back to the enormous effort.
That's my opinion.
I agree with it, and so does the attorney. But as far as the amount of effort and time that I believe is burdensome, we are able, as a village district, to recoup any cost, not with our efforts, but any legal costs can be borne by the person requesting all this. If it does come down to that, if he wants to go to court, whether it be small claims or whatever, legal costs associated with this can be obtained. So I just want to put that in your hat, and I want to move on to the next one, and that is the motion action log that Kathy has taken and produced. Thank you very much, Kathy. Any comments or concerns on that? I went through it, and it looks good. Paula, what do you think?
My apologies. I did not go through it. I saw it, Kathy. I didn't go through it.
So, Jay, what I did was, I just took all of the December and the January minutes and things that I knew for sure were done, I didn't include. Some of the things on here probably are done, but if you can send to the office, if you've done any of the things that are on this list, and just send it to the office, and then Donna can forward your comments to me, and I'll update the log.
Okay.
Okay.
And did you get the did you get the prior log that Lynn was working on?
I did, but it was not usable.
Okay.
I'll review it, but I don't think there was anything on there that needed to be carried for. I mean, unfortunately, she didn't understand the purpose of the log. When we were saying we should put down motions that we make to do something going forward, she was including the motions to approve the manifest, the motion to approve payroll. So I don't think she really understood what we meant by the action and motions log. You know, some things are just an action, like, okay, somebody will call Dan Whitelaw and make sure that the furnace gets blah, blah, blah. Or it's an actual motion to transfer funds to an account. So she didn't understand that a motion to approve the manifest didn't belong on this log.
Right. Okay.
What does W stand for? Is that a typo?
It was either a motion, an article, or a. She had the key on the bottom. MWA.
Yeah, I did change it to.
With motion, action, and warrant.
I'm going to change it to warrant as a WA because that's how we acknowledge everything in the office. And,
then she had
a
call
on the CRS. I'm sorry, I wasn't. I see the log. I see the legend. Thank you.
Okay.
But I changed everything else.
She had a column for, like, if we were going to purchase something, you know, what budget it came out of, the water budget, the operating budget, or was it against a warrant article? And I kind of took that column out so I could get everything on one page. So if that's, and I can always include, that in the center column on, if we're going to, purchase a picnic table, you know, how are we going to pay for it? So I can include that in the description. So anyway, just basically, I guess on the left is kind
of. There's room on it, Kathy. I flipped it so it's landscaped, so we can put another column in.
Okay, all right.
I'll send it out to you.
Okay, all right. Because I was going to leave it. Yeah. That's all right. I put it portrait so we can print it in two pages instead of like six, but that's okay.
I condensed it. It's on two pages.
Okay.
Yep.
All right. So if Donna and Paula can send to Donna, no, if Paula and Jay can send to Donna things that they know they've done and Donna knows they're done, and I don't know if we just want to, I mean, one person kind of has to be in control of it, which I'll do, so that, you know, we don't have 14 versions of it with multiple updates. So if all the information comes back to me, I'll make sure that the log gets updated, and then I'll add to it minutes from today's meeting.
Okay. One question I have is work orders. Does anybody remember what a work order is and the forms and everything that went out? Okay.
Yes.
I guess the question is, do we want to bring that up again or start, not bring it up, but use it again? Now, let me give you an example of what a work order would be. So, for example, if the certified letter goes out to these non-water users for lack of payment, a work order would then follow up going to Ian Hayes to go out and shut off their water. Now, we can send an email or we can send a work order, but there was a work order method in place that would be telling him to do it, and then he would reply to it saying when he's done it. We want to utilize that process.
It's a great idea. Prior boards, including our board last year and this year, it's a great idea. Everybody's on board, but the follow-through is very challenging. So,
Well, you know what? We can just use the action motion log, this log, to track that if we want, right?
Yeah, and we can do that too. Yeah, if there's any cost associated with these action items.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, I see something. I've got a question mark. I must have missed something on that line. All right.
Okay.
Okay. All right. So everybody can review it, and then again after today, things that we know have been done, just Paula can send all that stuff to Paula and Jay can send it to Donna, and then Donna can either update the log if she wants and then send it back to me, whatever's easier. Okay. All right.
All right. Perfect. Moving on to the fire extinguisher scheduled at a visit for the lodge. Has that guy called back yet? I know he
missed. He hasn't, and I have a call. I called again. So,
okay.
All right. Just keep on them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now, moving down to accounts payable. We're moving along pretty
good
here.
Approve the minutes. Approve the minutes.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Minutes. I'm sorry. The minutes of 1/21/21. That's not a typo.
And 1/23.
And 1/23/21. I'll do them together. I looked them over. They look good. So I'll make a motion that we approve the minutes of 1/21/21, 1/23/21. The only question I had, and I'll ask the other two commissioners if they feel it's worthy for the minutes of 1/23. That was when we went into discussion on a Tuesday to discuss budget updates. And the first thing that I brought up was increasing the line items for administration as well as legal because of what I perceive to be a continuation of 91A requests. And it didn't get into the minutes, but we are going to talk to
I thought I read that, Jay. And I think I read that.
I'm just opening those minutes. Hold on. Let me see.
Because I know we decided not to raise the line items because we didn't know by how much.
Was this on the 21st or the 23rd, Jay? I'm sorry.
23rd.
Okay, I'm opening the other one. Hold
it
on.
It may have been in the minutes of the 19th. So if you don't see it in the 23rd, it was the 19th. But I recall reading it when I was doing the motion log, so I'm pretty sure it was in there, but it might have been on the 19th.
Okay.
Yeah, I feel like I remember writing it, but I don't want to say for sure. I'd have to go back and look at the 19th.
Okay. All right. Discussion of the latest draft.
I know we had a discussion.
Right. Yeah.
Okay.
119.
I'll go
Hold
back.
On. Let me just.
Yeah.
I'm just going to pull those up. I just found them at 119. Oh, here.
Because
yeah,
I think
it's in the 19th.
Important.
Jay, it's in the 19th.
Okay,
Jay Buckley suggested adding more salaries to cover potential costs of additional part-time to fulfill 91A requests. It talks about it. So we did have
it
discussed and it was noted. Okay. All right.
Okay, so
I will second your motion to approve the minutes.
Okay. All in favor say aye.
23rd.
Yes.
I say aye.
Aye.
Yep. Okay.
Paula, could I just ask, when you're sending them in, I can't remove your watermark.
If it's a Word doc, you should be able to remove it.
Yeah, but it won't let me remove it. It's like, it doesn't come in as...
Is it a PDF or...
No, it's
funny,
a
I haven't
Word
been,
doc.
I have not been putting a watermark on them. Let me go. I'll have to look at it. I'll resend them all to you if you want me
okay,
to.
Okay. If you could just open one and take it, you know, or start a new one and start a new watermark, and then I can remove them once they're approved.
All right. I haven't been putting. I don't see a watermark when I look at it. That's very weird. Oh, I see it now. Okay. I'll check that. I'll have to go back. How far back is that a problem? On all of them?
Yes, but that's all right. I just mark approved in the computer and on the,
Okay.
All right.
Okay. I'll start a new one. Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. Now we're going to jump right down to the accounts payable, and I'm going to make a motion to approve the manifest of 128 for 7 checks totaling $10,666.19. Do I have a second?
I'll second that.
Okay. There's a pretty big one for...
Monson?
Those are the chemicals for the chemical room.
Yeah.
We get them, twice a year.
The sodium hydroxide. I'm just looking over
the...
That's
the one I wasn't familiar with.
Yeah.
The bill for Simply Water, because there's quite a few invoices that accumulate to one total.
That's the last 3 days of the year for the leak that they were fixing.
Yeah, right after Christmas?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I thought. Okay. So, subcontracted excavation. So, just to give folks an idea of the excavation costs associated with repairing that water main leak.
I can just send out the invoice to both you and Paula and Kathy. Nobody else is on the phone.
Okay. Yeah, $2,310. So hopefully,
okay.
If Kelly takes over that responsibility, we'll have significant savings there. Okay? So I'm good. And I need to sign the checks.
Yeah.
I'll give you help. Do you want to give this?
That's good. Man.
All right. Okay, so a motion has been made. I believe we do we have a second, or have we had a second?
I seconded.
Kathy seconded.
Okay. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Yes.
Aye. Okay. And while I'm signing, I'm going to continue on and do payroll next. I believe.
Okay,
no,
well,
there's another.
That's the.
Yeah, there's another manifest for $3,777.50. Now, this one, I asked Donna to write up the this manifest, but it includes invoice from Jones and Beach for several things.
These are all the bills from 2020.
Yeah.
That our books close on the 31st, so that's why I printed it up.
Yep. And that,
yeah. So Jay, what we decided to do was instead of taking it out of the operating budget and then reimbursing it when the grant money came in, we separated the checks into two checks. One was for the contracts, 1, 5, and 4, whatever it was. But that contract 6 is the one that they show as being overspent. So until they reallocate those monies to the right contract, we put those charges on one of those checks, and then the other checks were monies that were appropriated correctly to the contracts, but we printed the checks out of the water budget, but we're just going to hold them until we get the checks from the DES.
Okay.
So we can print them, which means they're in the budget and they're posted in QuickBooks, but we're not going to mail them until we have the funds in the Reinhardt Tank account to cover them.
Right. So here's my question on the first invoice for $1,375 for contract number 6. It
Correct.
States that that contract that we agreed to, which I believe was up to
9,000.
Was it 9? Yeah, 9,000. There was a 5 and a 4. And that was for construction administrative services or extra hours and the OEM or operating and maintenance manual.
Correct.
Now,
Correct.
It states here that there was construction inspection, a project meeting, and a shop drawing review. And so this amount, if we were to pay this, I guess my question is, because we still have not received the operating and maintenance manual, which is a deliverable, is there going to be a cost to that? And how much more over the price of contract number 6 will that put us? If this
that's the check that even if we get the DES grant, we're still going to hold that check. That's why we separated the two. The Jones and Beaches, the one that was for the contract 6, which we're questioning, we wanted to print it just so that it was in the books because we do owe it. But I think that Jones and Beach, with the transition with Chris leaving, they're allocating those costs to the wrong contract.
Right. Okay.
Because contract one still has $7,000 left on it. Contract 2, which is for construction management and inspection, still has $3,000 left on it. So why they're applying it to contract 6 doesn't make any sense.
Right. And on contract number 6, as it stands right now, how much? I remember the total contract was for $9,000. Do we know how much we've actually paid against that contract?
Okay. I did yesterday after pulling all this, Kathy. I was going to verify it with you later. We've paid Jones and Beach three checks to contract number 6. $6,832.50, $2,062.50, $2,093.75, which comes to $10,098.75. Jones and Beach on the $6,832.50, they changed it on October. They took out $630 for drainage design analysis, which only goes to $6,202.50, a difference of $630.
Right. Yeah, I remember that.
So, and then with the $1,375, what we will be paying is $12,363.75.
If nothing gets reappropriated.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I don't know where they reappropriated the $630 to take out of it, but we did already pay the full $632.50.
Okay. So that's $600, Donna. That was some culvert work that they did, I believe, completely outside of the Reinhardt Tank project.
Okay, so that is in the improperly,
right. So that amount of money on that particular check, that $600 or so should be posted not against the warrant article, but against either it's actually engineering, wasn't it? So maybe under the operating budget engineering.
Okay, it says drainage design analysis. So engineering?
Jay?
Yeah, that's where I would put it.
And it was four culverts.
Yeah, because that's what they were doing. But I thought, and I want to go back to even those contracts.
They weren't the two culverts that were replaced on Briston Stock. Wasn't that something completely outside of the Reinhardt project area?
Yeah, those were culverts that were damaged and had to be replaced. There was no intention of replacing them, but there was one at the lower section of Briston Stock and Salins that was engineered to be a larger pipe, but we actually went with the same size and used one of our existing pipes in stock to replace that.
Was that related to any of the work they did when they were installing the new water main? Was that a result of that?
Yeah. Yeah, because when we exposed that pipe at Salins Briston Stock, we also discovered that there was no bottom to it. It was a metal culvert and it was completely rotted out underneath.
So I would say it wasn't that the culvert got damaged or needed replacing. That was just an old rotten culvert. So I would agree, or I would think that it would not go against the Warren article. It would go into our general operating budget for engineering.
Yeah. But here's the tricky part with that. If you remember, though, Dawson did quote two culvert replacements for, I think, a total of near $11,000, and that was one of them.
Yes.
But we never received anything.
Yeah, we never received
Dawson.
So what I'm afraid of is that if Dawson does come back and say, hey, we replaced two culverts for you, here are our invoices, on top of what Jones and Beach is charging us.
Okay.
That's what I'm afraid of.
Yes, because it was DES crossed off that crossed that amount off of the disbursement request because they said, no, I can't. The grant can't be applied toward engineering of a culvert.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
That's why we have to separate it out because it doesn't really go. Cause we couldn't use that to get the 24% reimbursement on.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay. So if you want to leave it in the Warren article, that's fine. It's you know, small amount of money, but we just have to be aware that it couldn't be applied to the grant.
Yeah.
So I mean I don't think it should go into the Warren article, but if you feel it should, then and then Paula can be the deciding vote.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Madam Vice President.
No, I mean, it sounds like it shouldn't go into the grant. It seems pretty straightforward. forward to.
Yeah, yeah, it's not.
So I'll take that 630 out and put it into the operating budget?
Yeah.
Yep, under engineering.
Okay. Okay.
By the way, I just want to be, I keep bringing this up, and I don't know why it keeps coming up. I don't understand. This, any money, did we send Dawson, did Dawson get the notice that everybody else got that all of our bills are due by the end of the month? As being one of our vendors. Didn't we send out a note to a couple of our vendors saying get us all your bills?
I called everybody that Kelly told me to call. I didn't.
Is Dawson one of them?
No.
I'm going to keep saying this, guys. If they don't bill us, we're not paying them.
Like, yeah, because
you can't send a bill 2 years later, Jay, for work and say, oh, here's a bill for some work we did 2 years ago.
No, I agree.
This has to stop. If they were notified in writing that all billing is due by the end of the month, that's it.
Yeah.
So why do we keep bringing up this work for these culverts? You keep raising it as a potential cost that's going to come in. I don't understand why. I thought we're done. We're done with them.
Well,
like, for what's been done as far.
And I know we raised it at the November 5th meeting when he was physically in front of us.
Right.
So, yeah, if he has not sent it in, but unfortunately, some vendors are not as...
Oh, they're up to date. They send it in as soon as they
do. Okay.
And they request
they want
their payment.
They want their money.
But then the 45 days.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, so this discussion, though, is about some monies that Jones and Beach added to an invoice that was for the project, which DES took that line item out. Maybe they didn't understand what's culvert, and I guess at this point it doesn't matter. Let's take it out of the warrant article and put it to the general account.
Yep.
Okay. So we've overspent contract six. We did overpay one invoice, which put us about, $1,800 over on contract six. And they know that we know that. And they sent additional invoice for contract six, which we printed the check, but we're not going to send it until they clarify how this is going to be appropriated. So why do they keep dumping everything on contract six when there's funds left into contract one and contract two, which say construction management and inspection, which is what these invoices are alluding to as far as the scope of the work.
Right. And my thought is that even after the last time we talked with Brad, that he was going to reallocate some of those charges against contracts to other contracts. We were already $1,800 spent on that contract.
Yes.
And I haven't seen that happen yet. And now we see additional charges. And it's like, no, we're not. We have a contract for a certain price, and they're really overstepping the amount. Yeah.
Yep. Yep. So okay. So we know, and Donna's aware of that. So I think that there's nothing to discuss other than the fact that we did the checks because at some point we will owe them the money. So we did want to get it into the 2020 bookkeeping because the work was done in 2020. But they're not going to get their check till everybody's comfortable with the way it's being appropriated.
Right. Okay.
And at the last meeting that Brad was on, he did say that he will wait until we get the disbursements. So it is.
Okay. So he knows that.
He knows that.
Okay.
Okay.
So going forward here, we have this manifest in front of us. Do we go ahead and approve this manifest? It's just the distribution of this money as to what bucket it falls in, which will be settled later. Is that right?
Correct. That is correct. And the fact that we don't have the funds in that account to cover them anyway until we get the checks from DES. So, but we just wanted to print the check. So that way we're not taking out of one budget, then reversing it. And it made more sense. Yeah.
All right. So I'll make the motion to go ahead and approve this manifest for two checks to Jones and Beach for a total of $3,777.50 to be appropriated accurately at a later date once the disbursement comes in. Do I have a second to the motion?
I'll second that.
Okay. All in favor say aye. Aye.
Can I ask a question first? I have a question.
Yeah, go ahead.
Question.
Sure.
Now that I'm thinking about this, Kathy, if the money, so you're doing it now because you want us to hit the books for 2020, which I understand, but if the money doesn't come in until 2021, are you going to be able to put the money against 2020, the disbursement? Because I don't want at the end of 2020 the books to show that we were over budget because we didn't have – I mean, is it a cash flow issue or is it an accounting issue?
It's just it's a timing issue on the cash flow. The money that we've got – how much money that's coming in from DES from those disbursements, Donna?
The biggest one is –
I know we have money coming in. My question is, so it's already on the books that it's coming in. We've already booked it. For 2020, but we just don't have the check. So it won't be booked when the check comes in. It's already booked. Is that correct?
It's really it's a timing issue more than anything. So we didn't put in any kind of an accounting that the money is due in QuickBooks. That didn't happen.
So if the money doesn't come in before the end by when the books close, you're going to have this output, and you're not going to have the input to match it, and then you're going to show that you're over budget. Isn't that going to be a problem?
Which is fine. No, it wouldn't be.
Okay.
But will that appear, to Paula's point, when we do receive the disbursement, maybe a month or 2 weeks or a month from now, after the books close, won't that be viewed as an unanticipated income?
No, what'll happen is the Reinhart Tank account will show a negative balance at the close of the year. So what if we did? So the same thing would happen is if we mailed somebody a check and they didn't cash it, then our checking account balance would be different than our QuickBooks balance because you have outstanding checks. This would just be the difference.
Yeah.
It'd be the same thing, but like 180 degrees different. That there's money that we. It would just show a negative balance. That account will show a $2,000 negative balance at the end of the year.
Okay.
Okay.
Which is okay, as long as we know why.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay. All right. Then I'm willing. I'm ready to vote.
Okay. All in favor say aye. Aye.
Yes. Yes.
Aye.
Okay. So in regards, I guess we'll just go ahead and sign and hold these checks, correct?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
That's correct.
All right.
Okay.
And one more. Okay, the next item on the list is the payroll. That's Donna. And we have a payroll total of $7,028.49. And we have already had some questions regarding these 2 weeks of payroll. So I'll make the motion that we approve payroll for $7,028.49.
And the commissioner and the treasurer's monthly stipends in that.
Okay. So our paychecks are here as well. Okay. We have
second.
And any concerns, questions? Hearing none. I vote yes.
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 Okay. And that is done. And Paul, you just need to come down and initial the manifest page. Okay.
Yeah.
Moving on.
The other thing is the CRF. It has to be.
Yes. And this was the one for
the ledge probes.
The ledge probes, $4,999.50. And this was to SW Cole.
SW Cole and Jones and Beach. That's the whole. That's how it was voted on the 16th in the minutes.
It was like it was $2,500 to Cole and $2,500 to Jones and Beach. So that was the $5,000 that was voted on.
Yeah.
And we're going to take that out of the capital reserve.
Yeah, because I do remember just the check for $2,500 to SW Cole.
Yeah.
So the other half was to Jones and Beach to indicate where those probes would be done.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
Okay.
So I'll make the motion that we take and sign for the distribution of $4,999.50 from the Water System Capital Reserve Fund to pay both Jones and Beach and SW Cole. Do I have a second?
I'll second that.
Okay. Any questions or concerns?
Okay. So we're not paying it. They've already been paid. All we're doing is we'll take it out of the – that money will come out of the – wherever we posted it to begin with. Like, I don't know. Yeah.
Water system.
If it was – okay.
Did we already,
I don't know if it came out of the Reinhart.
I'm sorry. Oh, sorry, Kathy. I'm sorry.
No, so we've already paid both those bills already.
Out of the operating budget, now what we're doing is taking that same amount of money from the capital reserves to reimburse the operating budget.
I don't know if it's closer to the warrant article.
Why are we only transferring half of it? Did we already transfer the other half?
No.
Yeah, no. It's $4,999.50, well, basically $5,000. And those two checks, there were two checks, each one for about $2,500, mm-hmm. that make up that $5,000 amount. So those have already been paid, so now we're taking that total amount and then putting it back into the operating budget.
So how much are we transferring, $5,000 or $2,499?
$4,999.50.
Oh, $4,000.
Put
together. Okay.
Yeah.
On the agenda, it says 2,000. I'm sorry, on the agenda, it says 2,000. I'm trying to pull
this
document.
That was the one from last.
Right.
Oh, I apologize. That's the one from last week that I had to sign, and Kathy brought it to my attention because of the $5,000 that was approved that we did pay Jones and Beach, the other $2,500, but it was actually 28.
You're transferring $5,000. I was
yeah.
reading what was on the agenda, not what was on the sheet. Yeah. Okay.
Okay. I sent that out as a, you know, attachment. You can see it.
Okay.
I looked at it. Okay. So I'm ready to vote.
All right. All in favor, say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Yes.
Okay. Signing here.
Okay.
And this is going to be in the office for you as well, Paula?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Do we have any proposed changes for the 2021 proposed budget? Anybody?
Let me go back to my agenda. Hold on. Oops, I lost my agenda here.
Are we still under signature items, or has all this been?
Well, that was accounts payable. We haven't gotten the signature items yet, but...
Oh, okay.
I was just going to go over the budget and any warrant articles.
I don't think there's anything else for signatures.
Okay, so reading this, the 2021 budget and articles brings up an interesting issue. Are we going to still send out, what are we going to use for our water bill amount this year?
So that's a very good question because of the timing, right?
Exactly.
Water bills are due May 1st, so we usually get the water bill out by April 1st, and that's probably not going to happen this year.
It can still happen. Well, it could still happen, but
yeah,
maybe. I mean, if we think that our budget for water is not going up, I can't imagine that at the annual meeting anybody would ever vote the budget up. If we would still just leave it the same as last year.
Yeah,
that's something to think about. Something to think about. We don't have to decide today, but that was a water bill comment in here, which made me think about that. That it as complicated as it is with people and the timing and when they pay it. If we change it, I think it would just create a mess. So I think we should keep it the same, mail it out the same date that we normally do, and potentially keep it the same amount.
Yeah, because a lot of mortgages are actually tied to this date, and those mortgage companies actually pay as part of the mortgage, the water bill, as well as, I believe, the taxes,
yeah, exactly.
Obviously. Yeah.
Yeah, so I think that's something we should talk about, to think about this week, and then next week maybe decide so that Donna can get prepared. It's a major project, printing all those out and getting them mailed and correlated and all of that. So.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so one thing that I was thinking about while we wait for actual quotes to come in was the brush cutting of the
mm-hmm.
bridle path at Bryanark and then the old Riggy Drive. And, you know, obviously Chris Albert and anybody, Water Right Bird included, would say that that's not a yearly maintenance thing, but every 4 or 5 years you should go and attack that to keep those grounds clear in case you need to get at the water main. That being said,
mm-hmm.
I know we have it right now listed as a warrant article, and if the voters turn it down, then the trees only get bigger, and as the trees get bigger, the price gets larger. And
mm-hmm.
I was just thinking, shouldn't that be like a every 5 year event which is just part of maintenance. And if we did it, if we accounted for it monetarily or financially every 5 years, and I did some math, if it's a $5,000 price tag, which is what I'm thinking it would come in at, it's basically adding $11 to the water bill.
Once, 1 year. Once,
right?
Or every five years. Okay.
Yeah, 1 year, well, just 1 year, and then in 5 years you'd add another $11 for that 1 year that it's being cut. In other words, it's raised the year that it's cut.
It's $2 a year. I mean, it's really, you're saying it's $2 a year.
No.
The cost.
$11.
No, it's $10 every 5 years is $2 a year. So
correct.
Right.
That's correct.
So do we really need to
itemize it?
Itemize it? Oh. I mean, can't we just find the money in the budget somewhere? I mean, where did we end up this year? Were we right on budget? Did we end up with $5,000?
No, we were under on what we appropriated. We were under on what we appropriated. Yeah.
I mean,
but at the end of this year, all whatever is unspent gets either sent to the it either gets rolled over. I guess we can roll it over to the next year, can't we?
No,
or we can put
the
money in the capital reserve fund.
Yeah, it goes into a capital reserve fund, I believe. So
which is what
we
did. Dinah put $25,000 because we underspent the water budget this year. So she already took $25,000 and put it into the water system capital reserve fund.
Yeah.
What does the money have to get spent? Is the money allocated? You know, the money we raised, the $8,000 that's the money we're about to change from a regular trust to the right trust,
right?
Like, what is that money supposed to be spent on? What is that allocated for?
That's
water line extension.
What does that
mean? So that's water repairs. And also water hookups.
Have we been taking repair costs out of there?
Yeah.
Like this, we just did a water repair, right? We just spent $3,000. You said for an excavation. Did we take it out of that fund? Like, are we using that fund for anything? Or are we just letting it accumulate? Like,
Don
take the money out of there.
Yeah.
It's all the hookups. Yeah, all the hookups come out of
that. Water repair at Christmas.
No, the water repair wouldn't come out of that.
Right, and that's out of the water system fund.
That's out of the water system.
The water bill, the water account, yeah.
Right.
That's the operating account.
Right.
Correct.
So what is that trust fund for? You're saying it's for waterline extensions. Have we done anything? Have we spent any of that money? What are we spending it on?
And it's for the hookups.
Cost $8,000 to do most hookups. So what do we do with the money left over? What's that supposed to be spent on? What's that allocated for?
Yeah, Dinah took that $25,000 this year, and then where did she
This
is the money raised on $8,000.
What are we doing with the $40,000? Yeah, there's about $40,000 in the waterline extension fund. So it was the $8,000 hookup fees minus the hookup cost, and we still have a substantial amount of money in that account. So if the district wanted to extend a water main or replace a water main, we could use that money for it.
Right.
That's all it's used
And we have not
for.
Done
That's
it.
All it's
we have
allocated
not...
for. That's all it's legally allocated for is extend water lines and do hookups. Okay. I'm just trying to say, like, we have all these reserve funds, and if there's something that has to be done every 5 years for $5,000, why don't we just take it out of the water reserve fund? I mean, why do we...
Out of the water system.
I wouldn't think about, raising $11 every 5 years. Nobody's going to remember to do that, or you're going to have a change in board of commissioners. We need $5,000 to do this brush cutting. Why don't we just take it out of one of the reserve funds? Let's just do it and take it out of one of the reserve funds that we have. It's for the water.
That's the point I was trying to bring up. Let's just do it.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. And we've got funds in the water system capital reserve fund. We couldn't take it out of water tank, I don't think, or water pipe maintenance, maybe, because you are kind of clearing the property to be able to access those water lines.
Right.
And we are agents to, and if the commissioners are agents to expend, and it's a necessary expenditure, then it would really eliminate the need to go to the annual meeting for voter approval.
Yep. Okay.
And so if they turn down the brush cutting along the roads, we keep this completely separate.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Done. So no decision needs to be made today. And
yep.
But it brought up a good point about the water bill, which, you know, I don't think we should delay determining what the water bill is going to be this year.
Right. Well, so we have time to do that.
Okay. All right. So we should move on. We should move on from number six down to number seven.
Yeah, seven. So we already did the water system capital reserve fund taking $4,999.50. And so did everybody see my response to Larry Leonard's inquiry on the water usage?
Yep,
was everybody okay with that?
Yep, absolutely.
Yep.
Okay, so can we send that off to him?
Yes, you can.
Everybody in agreement? Okay.
Yep.
We'll do that.
And did you send him a note about setting up a meeting?
Yes, I did.
Has he responded to that?
Yes, he did, but he did not copy the office, so I'm going to forward that to the office.
What did he say?
No, I saw it.
Oh, you did?
They were talking about doing a Zoom meeting to Larry Sedano.
Yeah.
So I did see that. Okay.
Yeah, and so Larry replied to me last night, why can't we have a physical meeting? And I gave him a couple of reasons. One, the office is closed to the public. Two, what was the other one? If the public does attend in whatever numbers, if the room that you're in, the number of public that come exceed that number, then the meeting is over. Everybody has to leave.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, your choice. What do you want to do? I think he thinks that this office is open to the public and we'll just come on piling it on here and use it. And I'm just going to say no. And I have said no, and I won't attend physically either.
He doesn't want to do it, then you do it. You and Larry Sedano meet. Let's just do it. I mean, I appreciate Larry's contribution. I think he seems to be a big help. But, you know, he's got to call the meeting. It's got to get done. Like, this has been going on too long, you know?
Sedano has given his time.
And
I think that's great. Larry Leonard had indicated to me that he's doing a lot of skiing now, so it might be difficult to him. So I'm just going to go ahead and do the meeting, ask him to call the meeting, and if he can't attend, then we can still have the meeting between myself and Larry Sedano.
He doesn't have to call the meeting. You don't need the chairman to call the meeting. You can call the meeting.
Yeah, that's true. And if he can't make it, he can't make it. That's okay. All right.
Okay. All right.
I'm just going to touch base on that real quick because this involves the asset management grant of $20,000 matching that was awarded to us by DES. So I did send out, or I believe Donna actually forwarded the response from Louis Ardano from DES, that the paperwork and the approval from the voters, keyword, approval at an annual meeting, from the voters is due by April 30th, 2021.
Yep.
I think everybody saw that, right?
Yes, we did. I did.
So what that means is that we would have to have our annual meeting have it happen either virtually or physically by April 30th, 2021, if we want to keep that grant.
Did you push back on him based on the emergency order? Did you push back on him?
I did. Yeah, I did, and I said... so that he basically stated that it's still April 30th. And I thought that the emergency order would push everything required by the state back, especially things that have to be decided at annual meetings.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to reach
maybe
out
they
to him
will.
Again.
Maybe that was something that once it's brought to their attention if all the towns that apply for this grant all have to have the approvals, I can't imagine that most towns aren't taking advantage of that emergency order 83 just to simplify everything. So maybe there's enough pushback that they will extend that April 30th date.
So I'm going to do what Paula had suggested. I'm going to reach out to Louis if this is okay with the other two commissioners and ask him if the order number 83 is going to reset the expectations of this grant submission. In the meantime, I can go ahead with the help of the asset management or the water committee asset management committee, whatever you want to call it, and I can get all of that paperwork prepared. There's six forms that we have to fill out. The only form that it will be the missing piece is the one which is the decision by the voters of the legislative body at our annual meeting authorizing the match of that grant. So I will have that paperwork in hand, ready to go, well before April 30th. But I do want to follow up with Paula's suggested is ask him if the governor's order now changes the requirements of submission. I will do that, both of those.
Okay.
Can I just ask who entered the meeting of 8091, the last four digits of the phone number?
Hi, this is Peter Knutson, 9 Reinach.
Peter.
Hey, guys.
Yeah, Peter, how you doing? We're just wrapping up on a conversation about our annual meeting and postponing because of the pandemic.
Can I ask one other question? Is it stipulated in the grant that you have to raise the money from taxation from your This is a water project, right? Are we trying to raise the money in taxation? Were we going to do it from unassigned fund balance, right?
Right.
That's what we were going to do it, unassigned fund balance. Could we take the money for this out of one of those water account reserves again, out of the water system reserve if we had to? Say it doesn't get approved. Could we still do this and say we have the money? I can chime in on that. Okay.
Yeah, last year, we looked at this grant and ran into the same issue. If the capital reserve fund doesn't specifically say asset management, you can't do it. So one of our warrant articles last year was to change the definition of it, and it all got voted down. So we tried to do it last year, but the public voted it down to amend the wording in the warrant article to include asset management.
Okay.
Good question.
Any of the reserve accounts.
They don't say specifically. I think we were trying to get that waterline extension fund. Because that had to get reworded, and we said, okay, with the new RSA, let's change the purpose to include asset management. The public decided to vote it down no matter what, so it got voted down.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you're going to reach out to Louis or Don or whatever his name is, and then you're going to get the paperwork ready. Okay.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. That's the plan. Okay.
Okay.
All right. We have a guest on the line, Peter Knutson. How you doing, Peter?
Good, thanks, Jay. How are you?
I'm doing good. Peter, I'm going to hand the microphone over to you. And let you explain what your intentions are. I think we all know that you have under construction a home at number 9 Reinach up by the new tank, and you're talking about a 2-inch bypass that would connect, I believe, to the original pump house, which is currently still flowing water. So I'll let you take it from there with your idea and proposal to the commissioner. So go ahead.
That'd be great. Thanks, Jay. So, as you know, my house is the first house to be tied into your new system, which is going to eventually run off the new tank and the new pump house. I don't know that much about the details of it, but that's the way it's been explained to me by my contractor. I'm all tied in and ready to go once you guys complete your project, but it doesn't really do me any good now that I'm ready to turn my system on. The system's been connected for quite a while, but now that I'm turning my heat on, I need water for tiling, to run the heating system, to connect to the heating system, and also to start up my plumbing. So what we were proposing to do is if you could run the bypass, a 2-inch line, I guess, that connects from the existing pump house, which is functioning, over, I guess it sounds like it's an easy thing that my contractor could do. He wouldn't have to excavate in the road, and he could just connect the two, and then it would get me up and running and get us by until your system is activated sometime in the spring.
Okay. Is that it?
That's it.
Okay. So you... I'm just trying to put this picture in my head. So we have running water coming out of the original pump house. You want to tap into that. I believe it's a, I want to say it's a 4-inch line. It doesn't matter. The line coming out of the original pump house, and then do a 2-inch line from that, tap into that, and then go to your...
I guess that would be the new system, which my house is the only house on the new system. So that would just, the pump would just feed
the pump
house. Yeah, yeah, feed the pump house. And I'm already connected to the pump house. On all the underground lines connect to the new pump house. And I guess, if I understand your plan, the plan was come summer, so springtime, when that new pump house is fully functional, you're going to start tying the existing homes back onto the new system and abandoning the old system, and then eventually remove the old pump house, remove the old tank. So this
right.
would just, you know what I mean? It made sense to me the way it was explained.
Okay. So just a little bit of background. So our water ordinance, we don't, it states in the water ordinance that we do not do water hookups between October 1st and May 1st, basically our winter operations. But without, but there are opportunities for exceptions. And there was this year on number 8 Edelweiss Drive, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, number 8 Edelweiss Drive, in the corner there. And we've had fairly warm weather up until recently. Now, the other thing is if we do tie, if we were to tie you into the original pump house, your water pressure would basically be zero, or maybe a pound, which does not comply with our regulations or water ordinance either, being 35 PSI minimum.
I'm not going to live in the house. This would just get me through construction. So even if I could just get a trickle, at least I could fill a bucket full of water and continue tiling. I've got a lot of bit of ceramic tile that's going to need water. Even if I could fill, like, I could fill a 30-gallon bucket over a period of time and just shut it off, and then I could use that to keep me going. If not, I'm going to have to try to – I'd have to import water somehow, which is going to be a nightmare, you know. So it just seemed like a simple fix to get it, keep us both going.
Yeah, no, I understand. Because my other concern would be, I'm not sure what type of heating system you have. Are you using forced hot water or baseboard heat? Radiant, right?
Radiant heat, yep. So the slab on grade would be the first thing to be activated. And there's also a gas stove. So there's like two courses.
Does your furnace require a minimum incoming pressure for the water line?
I have a backup system, like a holding tank, with so that I can run my heat without water, but I need water to fill the system for the initial startup.
Yeah. Okay, so you just need to charge your heating system with water, right?
Well, I need to charge my heating system. I need to, like, the flush toilet, so when we're working up there, I'm not, you know, I don't really need pressure. I just need a reservoir. I need to, like, supplement the reservoir of water. So if I had a 55-gallon drum of water that can slowly get filled, I can dip water from that and keep me going, you know.
All right. I really want to stay with the ordinance and not do any cutting into our original water line, because that expense would not be ours, the district's, it would be yours, and I'd like to try to
Correct.
Avoid that. But if you just need water, I'll ask the other two commissioners. Go ahead, Peter.
I'm sorry. I looked into a system similar to what we use in the construction trailers, where if for like $600 we could get like a holding tank with a pump. But
yep.
But then they still need water to refill that. So I don't know if there's a hose connection at the pump house, but then we'd have to drag hoses across, thaw them out. It's a difficult thing to do in the wintertime. But as far as connecting, we would take that cost on to connect the two buildings. It's not, it didn't seem like it was going to be a difficult task.
Yeah, I'm thinking if we could give you a delivery of 55 gallons, or if you can get another larger storage tank, I would ask our water operator if he'd be amendable to that, filling it with a garden hose from the original pump house. I know there's a tap inside that building for that, a garden hose adaptation. But I'll ask the other two commissioners how they feel. Mike said, I really don't want to break ground, especially this time of the year. Especially since, Peter, I think you know that the water main that was installed by your contractor, our contractor as well, to your curb stop valve is undersized, and he will be replacing that with a larger diameter pipe.
Okay.
And that will be done, obviously, in the springtime. We also, at this point in time, we have no idea, as there's never been an inspection on that water main under the Class 6 road to your curb stop valve. We have to have that inspected before any water flows through that.
Okay.
If it's too shallow, it will freeze this winter, and then the district will be in a whole lot of hot water, actually cold water.
Sure.
I'll ask Kathy and Paula. I want to get your opinions on this request.
This is Kathy Kozel, Peter.
Hi, Kathy.
I think certainly the initial concern is the fact that the ground is frozen, and to dig a 6-foot trench from one pump house to the other, I don't know if they can even do it now. I mean, Kelly seemed to indicate that it was beyond his capability with the equipment that we have. So I think that would be whether we want to do it or not, it's whether you can do it.
Right. I don't
know. If it's physically possible.
Where it was a temporary system, I don't know if you know if that was something they would attempt to do with 6 feet. It would probably be shallower with some kind of insulation.
But then it would freeze. Well, yeah.
Paula, I have a question. Who's going to do this work? When you say you're
my next question.
Contractor?
Yeah, Dawson would do the work, and it wouldn't have be any cost to you guys.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I don't know if they would typically, I guess they've been doing this work, so I mean, I guess maybe I would, because my question is like, if something goes wrong, you know what I mean? Then what happens if they damage when they're excavating, trying to get into 6 feet, and they break a pipe? You know, like it. I don't know. I tend to.
So I understand.
I'm a little nervous about the whole thing. Yeah.
Your primary concern is to keep the system up and running and to service all the people in the neighborhood. I understand.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
If they could propose a system.
Yeah.
Right. There's two concerns I hear. One is the safety of the system, and two is the cost to the VDOE. So if we could propose something that didn't involve excavating, where like a temporary insulated line, maybe heat trace, that we would cover the cost for, I don't know if that would alleviate your two concerns, and then actually get me up and running. That's one
option. If you're not taking showers and doing laundry and doing all your daily household tasks, then the consumption of the water would be minimal from the system.
Correct.
As far as the impact to the neighbors.
Right, and then this just doesn't put me at a halt. This keeps me going through construction so that I have a chance to have the project done in the summertime. In the spring, but right now it's like I don't know if you guys know when the system will be activated. Is it like 2 months, 3 months, 4 months away?
Mm-hmm.
I'm kind of in limbo, and I don't know if I'm caught between the contractor that did the work for you and how he did the work for you from the curb stop out. I don't want to get caught up in that. What you guys are negotiating back and forth, and I just want my water system. I don't want to have anything to do with that.
So, Jay, how would you feel about something that didn't require excavation and didn't require tying into that buried water line, that it was just a direct heated feed to the house from the existing water pump, from the existing pump house.
Yeah, so here's my question to Peter. Peter, would this water that we provide you have to be potable water?
No.
Okay. This is something I think maybe we'll, obviously we need to consult with our water operator. He owns the system, basically. The second option I'm going to explore with the water operator is that new tank that's sitting outside your window, Peter. It's got 120,000 gallons in it. And that 120,000 gallons is sitting there, and you have a fire hydrant sitting right outside that tank. If we can utilize that fire hydrant to periodically fill your reservoir that you'll have inside your house so that that won't freeze, that may be an option without even disturbing or touching our existing water system.
So would that you, be, let me ask you this. I don't know if it's possible. I'm just going to throw it out there as another option. If you opened the gate valve that's my system, my house is currently connected to the tank, but the tank, the water's not circulating, so you can't guarantee that it's potable. But if you open that valve, similar to taking it off the fire hydrant that you just discussed, if we just open that valve, will I get some water just off the system? Whenever I turn the spigot on, that water is going to come into my house, right? Is it just a matter of opening that gate valve?
No, because the connections for the water system inside that pump house, you have a 6-inch pipe that's coming up through the floor, and they're connected to nothing. We have not put in the booster pumps that are going to be in place to boost the pressure of that water coming out of that pump house. Those are not in place yet.
And you can't just bypass where the pump's going to go and just connect the pipe to the pipe.
There's no connection inside the pump house, so that if we were to open that gate valve to the pump house, you could tap off of the inside of the pump house. The fire hydrant right now is the only thing I can think of that would take water out of that tank at the current moment.
Hmm. Okay, so if I got a reducing valve and permission to tie onto the fire hydrant when I needed to, or you guys could come fill the tank on a periodic basis when I run out of water.
Yeah, or, you know, I'll talk with the water operator if we can put a reducing valve on the hydrant, go from a 6 to a maybe a 1-inch. And if you want to get yourself a 1-inch hose and then connect to the hydrant and then be able to fill your tank inside your home every so often, we may be able to accommodate that. But again, this is where you would be actively touching our water system, and only under the authority of our water operator can that be done without breaking the law. So I will inquire
I'm not excited about dragging a hose across every time I need water, but if that's the best you can do. I don't know.
Okay. And maybe you may have another suggestion. I don't know. The problem with leaving.
This is
Kathy again. And again, my earlier comment of having a heated hose going from the old pump house to your house, if we're plowing up there, that's going to have to be, something that would be in the way.
I'm sorry. I thought when I talked about the heated line, I thought that would just be from pump house, the existing pump house to the new pump house.
Okay, so they'd all be on the left side of the road. Yeah, I was thinking directly to your house, which would end up crossing over the road.
Yeah, and that would be too long.
That's not going to work.
I agree, it wouldn't be practical, right?
Okay. Well, Ian may have an idea or a solution or a suggestion or...
Yeah, he's the ultimate authority on this, so we do have to contact him.
Yeah, he's scheduled for next week for his meeting.
So what we'll do, Peter, so he's coming in next week for his monthly visit with us. So in that interim between now and then, we're going to pass this by him and see if he has any alternative ideas or if your idea will hold with him. And then if he wants to talk with you about options, then we will send out an email to you asking you to join our meeting again next Thursday. Is that okay?
That'd be great. There's another option could be we get a temporary, like the temporary toilet companies, they could bring in a tank and just fill the tank on a periodic basis.
Yep, that's true too. Yeah.
Yeah. So,
I think you might find it hard for those temporary toilet companies, porta potties, to want to or be willing to climb that hill.
Right. Yeah, I'm kind of stuck, so I'm hoping you guys can work with Ian and come up with some kind of solution to keep me going.
Yep, okay. All right, we'll do that. Kathy or Paula, do you have any other questions for Peter?
We don't. I don't know enough about it, so I definitely would defer to Ian, and then obviously, Jay, your input based on what Ian, you know, suggests. And it'll be good to have Ian and Mr. Knudsen both on the call on Thursday, February 4th.
Yep. Okay. All right. Oh, that's right. Thursday. Right. So next Thursday, I get my second vaccine shot. That's not until 1 p.m., so we have time. Okay.
Okay.
All right. Peter, any other questions for the commissioners?
Nope. Thanks for your time, everyone, and hopefully hear back from you soon.
We will be in touch with you between now and next Thursday, Peter.
Thanks so much.
Okay. Thank you.
Bye now.
Yeah, thank you, Peter.
Okay.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. All right. That was a good discussion.
I thought it was good. You guys, we have rules and we have ordinances for a reason, you know.
Yeah.
And you know, this guy hasn't even paid a water bill yet. I mean, so right now I just want to think about how much time and effort is being put against this project, this situation. I mean, to me, to dig into our do any excavation up there, I don't care who's doing it, or to be touching our current water system in order to help them finish construction. The rules are the rules, guys. You know?
Yep.
That's it. And they're in place for a reason. So I think if Ian can help in a simple way, but, you know, in hindsight, I go back to 8 Edelweiss. I would not have voted to let that guy do what he did off season. We have these rules for a reason. And there's a lot of people out there trying to get houses built because the market is going crazy right now. All these builders want to sell these houses for as much money as they can get. But we have ordinances, and you got to follow the rules. And there's probably people out there who have delayed their construction this winter for this very reason. And we're not, you know, we're not hearing from all of them. So if Ian can help, to me, facilitate a simple solution to this guy, otherwise he can cart water up the hill. I mean, that's what he's going to have to do. But I will not feel comfortable voting to approve any excavation or anything that touches our current water system right now in the middle of February. I don't want to waste more time on this even at this point. I mean,
so Jay, I'm gonna step out of the meeting for a few minutes, okay?
Yeah. Okay.
I'm gonna step out for a few minutes. I'll be back. I'll let you know when I'm back on. Okay.
All right. Good enough. Thank you.
30.
All right. So Paula, we are going to go right
next?
Into. Let me just go back to my agenda. Oh yes. Okay, there was another letter, and I believe, Paula, you had generated this response to Adam Leiser. There was another 91A request, and you had drafted an email in regards to the word, the keyword was evidence. And do you want to talk
that's
about
gone
that,
out.
That's, Paula?
Well, it's gone out. Basically, what you guys had given me, we had gone ahead to say if once the lawyer approves it and, you know, reviews it, to go ahead and send it. I sent it to the attorney. He sent it back to me. I told you at the meeting on Saturday in our non-public, we discussed this in non-public because it was a legal issue. And so I went ahead and made revisions and it was sent out to Adam by Donna this week. Donna, just a note to you. When you responded, you actually included some other correspondence. to Adam. You didn't reply directly to his email. He got a thread of emails. He got the one that Jay had originally sent to the attorney, inquiring about it. I just caution you in the future to be really careful about what you send. I don't think that anything inappropriate was sent, but I think that is what triggered his follow-up 91A for all the legal bills. So be really careful.
Sorry, I just responded to. Yeah.
Okay.
No, there were three emails attached to what you sent him.
Oh.
All right.
Yeah. So just be really careful when you reply on something like that. That's all. It's fine. It's not a big deal. He didn't get anything that was confidential in terms of legal correspondence. So that's not a big deal. He didn't get anything that wasn't public information. But you know, I just want to make sure we're handling these things appropriately as well. So. So that went to him, and has there been a response from him to that?
Well, no, but as you just mentioned, he did send recently this week another 91A request asking for all legal bills regarding him or the Little Loop Project, and Donna had brought up a question, I believe, on that request, what to do about that. Now, I believe he's already received information on his previous October 2nd request of the very same question. Please send me all invoices legal regarding the Little Loop project or me. So we've already done that, and this is sort of a duplicate, I see, right?
Is there any more recent ones? Is the date of the original 91A, has there been any bills since then that are noted as being about him or about Little Loop?
Yeah, about him or Little Loop in the past.
So I would just update. I would just write back to him, and I would send him any bills since then, and then I would and if any of those bills have been redacted per the original request, that we had redacted some bills because of a request from another citizen, then you would send him the redacted versions of those.
Yeah. Okay.
All right.
That's my opinion.
Okay.
That's what I think we should send. I mean, I would go ahead and respond to them this week and just get it off your plate.
Yeah. All right. I want to jump down to the commissioner's reports. So I guess I'll go ahead and start since I'm the most wordy guy. Anyhow, I sent out a proposed set of guidelines for the DPW in their engagement with the water system excavation for repairs or new water hookups. I don't know if you got a chance to read that, Paula. It was just a draft.
I was trying to read all my email. I don't remember seeing that. Hold on, Jay. I'm sure I got it, then I just don't remember it. Hold on.
Yeah.
What was it called? Do you remember?
January 26th at 5:24.
Guidelines for DPW water systems. Water
guidelines.
Systems.
Guidelines. Let me search.
January
26th. Hold on. Let's see. I did not read this. Okay.
All right, we can skip till next week if you want, because I want to get Kathy.
Let me just make a note. Okay, let me make myself a note.
Yeah, because we're not doing any water hookup right now.
Note on guidelines. Okay.
All right. We'll push that off to next week, Paul. So I want to give you the opportunity to read it.
Okay.
Now we talked briefly about the $20,000 asset management grant paperwork and what I would be doing with that. So that's my task. We also have from Wright Pierce a couple of things. They've been doing some work for us on the EAP, Emergency Action Plan for the dam. So I've been forwarding a lot of information regarding that to them. The other piece that they need to get is the LIDAR mapping from Jones and Beach. That is a product or deliverable that the Village District has already paid for. So they have authorization to go ahead and get that from Jones and Beach. The other thing that is in hand, I'm not really ready to discuss it today, but I'm going to see if you have any concerns or comments, Paula, is the agreement between the Village District of Idlewise and Wright Pierce for what is called on-call engineering services. So I don't know if you had a chance to look that over. I have not, I'll be honest with you. But then this is a... Yeah, they sent this to us.
Okay, I'll look at that. I didn't look at that either. They sent it to all of us? Or did you distribute it?
The office, I believe, distributed it. Okay, so we'll take a look at that next week. Then there's the...
Can I ask
you a question? Okay, we'd already talked. Sure.
Why do we need someone on call? Like, what is that for? Like emergency engineering? Like, what would that be for?
That would be, for example, if you require engineering in the water system emergency plan, or in the case of the dam, a engineer to put together an emergency action plan, or if we were to rebuild a pump house because the capacity of the pump was inadequate, we'd have to have engineering done to re-engineer the size of that pump. So this would be our engineering.
Why do we need an engineering firm of record? Why can't we just, when a project comes up, decide who we want to use?
So this makes it, this streamlines the process. Because if we do it each and every time, we'll have to sign agreements for every single time we go to an engineering firm. And I've already taken a look at the Wright and Pierce, go to their website and compare them to others, and also see what other communities that they serve. And they do serve a lot of local communities right around us. Some are smaller, some are larger. It is a big firm, though. And so, therefore, they have a lot of capabilities that a lot of smaller firms don't have. And so that would be the reasoning for this agreement, is that they would already have our I'm trying to think of going back to my work days. They're already in our system, and we would already be in their system as far as billing and all of that such, all of that information. They would also have on hand our water system master plan. They would have our LIDAR mapping. They would have other assets that we own, so that they can very quickly figure out an engineering solution to a question that we may have, as opposed to picking a new firm every time and having to send all that information and assets to them so they can get started with the work.
Yeah, I'll look at the agreement. I mean, I remember sort of having the same question 2 years ago when the prior board wanted to do this, you know, with who are those guys down in Concord that they used to use before Jones and
Concord or Laconia? You mean Fluid Engineering?
Fluid. The ones before DuBois and King.
Okay.
And I remember thinking, like, why are we, you're back, Kathy? Why are they, you know, why are they bothering with this? Because my feeling is like, yeah, you can, I mean, I guess the thing is then you're locked into them. You know what I mean? Like, and they signed, I remember they signed an agreement and there was no negotiating on it. They didn't like get any reduction of rates for anything. It was just like, hey, here's our boilerplate contract and here's our standard rates. And you're going to pay this whenever you need us and you're going to use us whenever you need us. And my point was, like, why would you lock yourselves into that when we don't do that much engineering as it is anyway, beyond, like, giving them the mapping? Is the LIDAR mapping the thing where if somebody wants to get on the water system, it's the thing, the testing that runs, that tells, is that what that is?
No. Well, yes and no. So the LIDAR mapping actually then creates or is an asset to the what is called the hydrological study. So when
mm-hmm.
someone wants to connect to the water system and then there's
right.
a question of will they have enough pressure,
right.
you have to use the LIDAR mapping to plug into a piece of software
right.
which would do the hydrological pressure of that particular proposed development. And those two pieces together would generate whether you have sufficient water pressure or not.
Right. Which is fine.
So,
and that you need somebody to do that, right? That was the thing that originally
right.
Fluid or whoever did. So I have no problem saying, yeah, you're going to do that for us. But I guess my question is every other project that comes up, if we have a little bitty project that comes up and they're very expensive, do you want to go to just, you know, find a consulting engineer? Not, I know, what's his name? Chris is not going to do that kind of work anymore on water systems, or maybe he is. I don't know. I just, my only question is, I'll read the agreement, is why, how necessary it really is, and does it lock us into a higher cost solution potentially for smaller projects as we go move along? That's all.
Right.
I don't
because if you,
like,
yeah,
I,
you
know, my
that,
question is, Ian, do we really need to have an agreement with anybody given the work? You know, we've just finished this major project, or we're not about to finish it. We're going to be doing some other, hopefully we have the contingency funds. We'll be doing some other projects. Do we need them? What do we need them to do? You know what I mean? And
yeah,
it's not
I
like
guess,
we're going to go through a major firm review for everything, but I just, does it make us take away any flexibility for us in the future?
Right.
My question.
That's a good question. And I think the experience that I've just witnessed in this past project, this past year, with the new engineering firm, Jones and Beach, is that, you know, mm-hmm. they came in to the project knowing what the design was that had to be done here on the project, but what they didn't know was everything else about Idlewise. And mm-hmm. so what we try to do, and what happened with Fluid Engineering, is Fluid Engineering knows more about our water system than any other engineering firm currently. And if we're going away from Fluid Engineering, it could always go back to them, by the way, too, because they do have a tremendous amount of information. But we would like to have that other engineering firm knowledgeable about some of the historical tribal knowledge that Idlewise has that is not documented anywhere. I think that's what makes it important. You know, we've seen a couple of issues, in particular with Jones and Beach, and the management of the project that went on this past summer. So, but we'd like to, I guess, get in with a firm that is, we know is going to have all our information, our LIDAR mapping, our asset management mapping, a list of our assets. They will have the hydrological study, and that's where we really need to get to, is to come up with a firm that is going to be able to tell us whether a house can be hooked up to our water system with sufficient pressure or not. And that's an expensive piece of software, which Wright and Pierce has. And so I'd like to be able to tap onto that and give them that LIDAR mapping so that they can do that service for us in the future. Now,
yeah,
with respect to your
that.
Other...
I'm not opposed to that. My question is, why does that then make them the company we have to use for all other engineering?
No, we can still look at others. This is just something that they sent because we have been utilizing their expertise, one with asset management. There was no charge for that grant proposal. The other one is...
The dam.
Urge the action plan with the dam. And they also may be come involved. It's, again, who we decide. With the emergency water plan for the system, we may actually go right back to Fluid Engineering since they know most about the system than anybody else.
Yes and no, Jay. I have an issue with Fluid. I think Paul Fluid did, but not Dubois and King. I mean, I just think everybody came away from Dubois and King's meetings less than happy. You know,
yeah.
Not that they don't know what they're doing, it's just that they're at a whole different level than what little old Idlewise is, you know.
Right.
It's an option, but I don't think I would be in favor of that. But so again,
right.
I missed the beginning of the conversation.
We're going to review the agreement for next week and discuss it. And I just questioned why we need an agreement with anyone. That's what we got into this whole discussion, Kathy.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I will review the agreement this week. Yeah.
Okay. And is the agreement just to acknowledge what their fees are and their rates versus tying us into, are we tying ourselves to them as our engineer of record, if you will, going forward, that they are our engineer? Are we just acknowledging the fact that this is what they do and this is what it costs?
Yeah, this is what they do. This is you see their cost page on the very end of their document here.
I didn't
see
that.
Yeah,
I didn't see the document. Yeah.
Yep. So that's what I'm asking. Just review it for next week.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay, yep. If I, I didn't see a copy of it, but yes, if I have a copy of it, I will look at it for next okay. week. Okay.
All right. And let's see. I did also
and then Kathy,
send out.
The only other thing, Kathy, the other thing you need to follow up on is, if maybe you already did it, I didn't do it, is to read Jay's note on guidelines for H2O water excavation process.
Yeah.
So
I mean,
I thought that was.
Yeah, I did read it. That was a good document. I don't know why we have it, if it's just kind of, it's not an ordinance or it's not a policy, if it's more of a procedural thing.
Right. And that,
okay.
Right. What it is to clearly identify, because if Kelly and Ian get together and Ian says, hey, I want to do a water hookup on Thursday on
Geneva
Plain.
Oh, right. No, I understand
Plain,
that part of it. Yeah.
Yeah. Then I want either one of the two of them, and they can decide, but they need to notify the office, okay? And so the office now has a record that the hookup will be done on a Thursday. And what Kelly needs to note is that when he works on this water hookup is that his hours have to be completely accurate and attributable to the water system during that time period when he's working with the water system. Okay?
No, and I think the two of them understand that, but I guess, you know, the purpose of the document is, what if in 6 months it's not Ian that's the water operator, or next year? At least there's some sort of a written procedure as to if a new person is taking on either of those roles, that they have something in writing to go by as a guideline. So I think that's fine.
Right.
Yep.
Yep.
Okay. All right.
And the last
thing I have... I'll read it for next week.
Okay.
And the last thing I have... the summary of how to get building permits in Madison. And I basically just reference the links in the Madison zoning, because zoning can always change, and we may not be fully aware of it.
No, I agree with that.
Okay. And one last thing that came to me yesterday was that the town of Madison, our town, is going to be holding their annual meeting and their day of voting Tuesday, May 11th. Will be the day for voting. Saturday, May 15th, will be their annual meeting, physically in person, and I believe it will be at the school. Okay?
Well, you know what? I know of a gentleman in Madison, actually down at Silver Lake, that when he signed up to get his vaccine, he missed, anyway, it's a kind of complicated process, but they pushed him out to April 30th. To get his vaccine. That's his vaccination date, and he's 76 years old. So, so I'm thinking by the time the three of us get an opportunity to get a vaccine, it's going to be not May 11th, that's for sure. You, Jay, got it, but Paula and I. So,
well, the thing is, Kathy, my father, who's 91, hasn't even gotten the email yet to get a date. He doesn't even have a date on the books for his vaccine. But the one thing I do know is that even if he gets a date of April 30th, if they get more supply, they're going to move all those dates up. They're just trying to get everybody on the books right now, and they are going to get more supply. So most of those dates are going to move up, but don't know. I mean, the point of May seems early to me still, too. I agree with you. I mean, to do an in-person meeting, but we don't really know. That's the problem. I mean,
if they made that choice, that's fine, but I don't think their choice should affect our choice.
I agree. Yep. Yeah.
Okay.
I agree.
All right.
So I'm going to jump to Kathy. Is that right?
Okay.
Yeah, Kathy, Commissioner's reports.
Okay. All right. One of our warrant articles was for surveying and drainage plan for Little Loop. I did reach out to Chris Albert. He's going to be in the district today around 3:00. You know, he's going to be in the area today around 3:00. He said he'll take a quick, you know, spin around Little Loop just to look at the scope of that project. He wanted to know if there was any other surveyed maps that the district has of any abutting properties to Little Loop. Now, I'm pretty sure we've got nothing on Little Loop except maybe that for Little Loop project that I think we've got probably 9 copies of that surveyed mapping. And I don't know if it goes all the way up to Idlewise Drive or not, but is that something that Chris could borrow, or we've got several copies of them all dated the same, that he could take that and use that as at least something to start with?
Yeah.
That was one question. And the second question is, what about Idlewise Drive? Do we have a surveyed map of Idlewise Drive in that section of road? somewhere?
Yeah, not that I know of. I would. Well, I'm sure there's
chunks of it here and there.
GIS. Yeah, there's some GIS mapping on the state level, which I'm sure Chris knows about.
Okay.
I can look for it as well. But yeah,
okay.
I think the pavement at Idlewise Drive ends really just before the intersection with Little Loop, and probably will not impact any of the Little Loop drainage work. But Idlewise Drive itself will.
Yeah, right. But I agree with that. But is there anything is there a survey? Was Idlewise Drive surveyed? Do we have a surveyed document for Idlewise Drive that in that portion of Idlewise Drive right after the pavement that you're aware of that's readily available?
Yeah, nothing that I'm aware of. Nope.
Okay. All right. So now we've got Donna and I, and I know, Jay, you have too on another occasion, gone through the office, and we've got probably 4 or 5 of those Dubois and King rollout plans for the Little Loop project. Would we allow Chris to borrow one of those sets to at least give him some sort of a point of starting to take a look at what the scope of this work will be so that he can at least give us a price on the surveying and the drainage?
Yeah, I have no problem with that.
Okay. All right. And if Donna's listening, or I'll send her a note. And I'll reach out to Chris, and he can swing by the office. Now, he's not going to be there till around 3, so I don't know if we want to leave that outside somewhere or prop it up against the mailbox for him.
No.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Jay, are you around?
Yeah, I'm around. Have him call me, and then we'll meet somewhere.
Are you in the office right now? Okay, so if you could grab one of those, I will have him contact you.
Okay, no problem.
Okay, all right, so that was one thing. Now, you talked about Adam's request for all the attorney bills.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay, I don't know what you decided, but I went through them all for another reason, because if people ask us what we spent all that money on, I kind of broke it down into some categories, but there was nothing on the bills that I don't have a problem with him seeing. So if you want to send him that whole file that you sent me, Donna, I don't have a problem with that.
Okay.
Any of the bills that were redacted, he should have the redacted versions.
Right.
I don't think anything on there was redactable. I think what was redactable was the actual agreement, the terms of the separation agreement.
Right, because I know a list was sent to him prior based on his original 35 request for 91A documents. That was one of them, but he's asking for it again.
So he got this already?
Yeah, it was sent to him quite a while ago.
Bills that he's asking that were under.
Yeah, I think he's looking for more recent. Yeah.
Okay. Oh, then I didn't realize that he had already gotten all those older bills from the beginning of the year. So, all right. So I retract my comment. Annual meeting, candidacy. I questioned the quote from Danny Whitelaw, $3,200, but we discussed that. We had a request from a realtor for the names of the people who were overdue on their water bill.
Yeah.
Was that discussed yet?
No.
Okay. So, it's an odd request. I kind of understand what I think they're trying to do. I don't, and I know, Jay, you mentioned it's all public information. I don't know if somebody asked Linda Shackford to send her a list of everybody that was past due on their tax bill that she would feel that she was required to do that. First of all, it's a lot of work on our part to do that. And would we just send them, say, the map and lot number, the property address? Because the owner's name and address and their mailing address could be very different. You know, we're still trying to figure out how to get in touch with half these people. So I'm not exactly sure what we're required to send this realtor who's asking for anybody who's past due on their water bills. What's your thoughts, Jay or Paula?
Sounds like the office might have gotten cut off. We just hit 2 hours. I thought that didn't happen anymore, Kathy. Yeah, I guess my question is, why wouldn't it be public information? I mean, we've discussed it in meetings.
Right.
I wouldn't provide anybody's name and address. I agree with you. Just send the there's only like six of them, aren't there? I mean, just send the list.
Six that are over $1,000. They said anyone past due on their water bill.
Oh,
that may be another 20. So I just would send map and lot. Then they can take the map and lot, go to the Town of Madison's website, get the name of the person who owns it. It doesn't show their mailing address on that website, so I think that's private information. So I think we would send them the map and the lot number and maybe this, like, 68 Idlewise Drive, if that was the address.
Why do you think they want this? You said you have a theory.
I think that they're trolling. They're looking for people past due on their water bill because they think, you know what, if they're having financial hardship, maybe they'd be interested in selling their house for a bargain. That's the only thing I could think of.
Yeah, probably. I just thought of that at the same time when you said that. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. And of course, Jay told him, "Oh yeah, it's all public information. Just call the office; they'll give it to you." So he had that conversation with Jim Lyons.
Right.
Saying no problem, just call the office. But I think it is a problem. So. Okay. So what else is on here?
Are you back,
Jay?
Oh
yeah.
Should I text him that he's not on the call anymore? Is he at the? I thought he was at home. I didn't think he was calling. My phone.
I think he's at the office. He said he was in the office.
Jay Buckley, Donna.
They should be able to just call right back in, shouldn't they?
There we go.
Okay. All right.
Donna.
Sorry, we lost it.
Hello?
Hang on, we're just going to turn off the recording.
Okay, I have someone that came in under restricted who just, that's the host. Why is that my number coming up?
Oh. Because you're an internet number.
Oh, okay. All right. Go ahead.
Yeah. So, we've already, I don't know where we got cut off. But we've already given this list to Adam Leisner based on his original request of 35 items. That was one of them.
Okay. What was it? Just the property address and the map and lot number? Was it their name? I mean, it shouldn't be their mailing address because that's not even something on the Madison PAX card website. So, I mean, what information do they want? And for, I mean, I guess it doesn't matter what reason, but it seems kind of an odd request.
Just looking to find out, excuse me, who the people are, where they live.
Okay, so all I sent him was the QuickBooks name and amount. Not the property address or anything.
So what is it that Select Realty wants, Jay? What was he asking for?
Just the list is all I know of.
But what the list of what though? The name, the address,
property?
The lot map number, the amount?
No, he wanted a list of those properties that were in arrears on the water bill.
Okay, so list of the property. So I would send him a map and lot number and the address. Let them get on the Town of Madison's website, look up the name of the person, and try to figure out how to get in touch with them. So the map and the lot number and the street address. That's all I would send them.
That's what I'd send them. If that's for the property, that's the property information. I wouldn't send the owner's name.
Amount that they own, or how past due they are. So just lot number and then address.
Let me ask.
They are reaching out to get a copy of the list of owners in Idlewise that have past due water bills.
Okay, the list of names.
Okay, the list of owners.
Right, so we've already provided names to Adam. So we'll just provide them the names, not the lot number and information. They can look that up.
Well, if the list has already been created, just send them that list, then. We don't want to do any more work than's necessary.
Right.
Yeah, it's just a QuickBooks thing that I print out.
Okay.
But
all right.
It's not, like, some of it is, you know, there's two that, you know, some of them are people that have credits with us. Some people have, doesn't go to the water bill, it's something else.
Well, if it's somebody owes us money, like we billed them for the culvert or like Adamsville, just cross those off.
Yep.
And just send them the whole list. Let them deal with it then. We shouldn't be, like they said, we shouldn't be creating documents for 91A requests.
Okay.
All right.
Okay. All right. Okay, so that was something I was going to mention. All right. The other thing is, since we now are experts at Teams meetings, should we switch our meetings to Teams going forward?
You mean these Thursday meetings?
Yeah, because one of the things that I think that Andrew said was we can take the meetings, the video and the audio, forward them to Madison TV. So now we wouldn't be paying for any kind of cloud storage or managing of our recorded meetings. We can just send them right to Madison TV, and they would be able to put them on their website. People were asking earlier for a more personal way to get involved with the meetings. It would alleviate tying up the phone lines and using this conference calling and potentially, you know, adding all these excess minutes to our phone bill.
Yeah, the only concern I have, and I've seen this, I actually been to a couple of Zoom meetings in the town of Madison, and so there's basically one camera on the computer, and whoever's typing on the computer is the one that's getting visually looked at the whole time. You can't see the
you can format your screen to see the other people, because I know at one point on our practice meeting, I don't know what Paula did, but all of a sudden I could see all the individual participants simultaneously. When somebody speaks, if somebody's speaking, then the software automatically flips to that person and enlarges their photo.
Okay, I see what you're saying.
That's up to the viewer, Kathy. That has nothing. I didn't do something to make you see that. You did something. You just don't know
right.
what you did. You decide.
So there's a way. There's a way of doing it. There's a way of modifying.
I don't know how it records is the question. I think it probably records everyone in the boxes, or probably records whatever is on that computer, whoever's recording it. I don't know. I mean, I'm not in favor of it because I don't see what the value of it is. I don't need to see your faces to have a. I mean, that's just me. I don't really want the camera in my house. You know, I sometimes get up and I walk around and I can do that, I suppose, if the camera's on, and I'll just leave the camera with me not sitting there.
Drinking your coffee. Okay, all right.
You know, I just feel like it's a little bit of an invasion.
Okay, all right, that's fine.
You know,
I just thought since we knew how to do it,
I know.
Okay.
Motion
log update, we talked about that. Now the website, I finally figured out how to do that. So we changed the calendar on the website. So I don't know if either of you had a chance to do it or Donna, but if you can click on the date, it tells you what's happening going forward, where that old calendar all it did was document when things got posted to the website. So it was always the historical data, not anything going forward. So we can put a lot more information on the calendar about call-ins and dates and procedures, and there's paragraphs that you can add to any of those posted meetings that are happening in the future.
That was great.
I'm glad that got done. I think that was the Chris Albert thing. So those are basically the only things that I had to discuss. And if there's anything else that you see the website, now that I'm getting a little bit more proficient at it, I can, you know, go back and start taking old stuff off now and moving it, and I've kind of updated it all to reflect the decision we made on Saturday about moving the meeting, and I posted the ordinance, the emergency order 83 is on there now. So, all right, that's all I have.
Okay, Paul, you're up next. I know you did a lot of work this week on the Indeed.com.
I didn't do any work. I posted the job. that wasn't any work, but I appreciate your thinking that it was. So I posted the job, and I'm actually just logging in, and I don't know why it's not logging me in. I think we only have 4 or 5 applied so far. Unfortunately, it's not as heavy as it was last time. I don't know if it's because of the time of year or currently the unemployment situation, but there were 4 or 5. I looked at them each pretty quickly. You know, there's nobody with, like, direct municipal experience, but there were a couple that were kind of interesting, I thought, that had good administrative experience and background, so...
I thought there was one. There's one that really stood out. I thought that was good.
Yeah. What I would suggest is that you give me the authority or whatever is required to spend this week screening those, the ones we've got, and calling those people, the ones that I think are worthwhile, and to call any additional ones that come in before next Thursday, and to pre-screen them all, and then so that I can come to you guys next Thursday and say, here's 3 or 4, hopefully, or 1 or 2 good candidates that I think we should set up a phone call with, and then we can set up a phone call with them.
I'll make a motion that we authorize Paula Doyle to pre-screen candidates that have already submitted their resumes, as well as those that will be submitting resumes between now and next Thursday, and to summarize those before next Thursday. Do I have a second?
It's going to take her an hour to write that all down.
I got it.
Yes, I'll second that. Okay.
I'll capture the spirit of it. Yeah.
Okay.
I'll get that. Okay. And I'm ready to vote.
Okay. I say aye.
Yeah. Aye. Okay. All right. So that's all. And then, as I said, the email to Adam, that got done. I did send
good.
A note, just so you guys know, to Chris Alp. Chris, what's his name? He keeps sending
Bolt.
These emails implying Bolt that we don't know what we're doing.
And you know what?
I hope you posted this meeting, and I hope you posted that meeting. And I said, I wrote back to him, I said, we know how to post. We understand the rules for having meetings. We did not have illegal meetings. So he wrote back, and he said, I understand. You guys but I'm just erring on the side of caution. I'm like,
well, you know what?
Clock,
when we get his bill,
you know?
When we get his bill for this month, guaranteed there's going to be you know, he sent us this whole thing about the governor signing the order, and we'd already read it, Jay read it, and we made a decision.
I know.
Before, and so I don't think we should pay for all his, you know, unsolicited help.
Yeah, we'll see. I'll be curious to see his bill, and if it looks like
we've
had it, we'll definitely push back on that, because I have emails from him now, and I'm like, half the email is about, you know, the meeting and what we have to do. And then he said, you know, make sure you've told everyone. I said, yes, we're informed people. We're not idiots, you know?
And then maybe we want a non-meeting. Does this require a non-meeting? And no.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Should we read with the rest of this? So, no, I think that looks like we've pretty much covered everything.
All right. We have Kelly Robitel to... review, if everybody's okay with moving on. We have some correspondence. I'll go over quickly the correspondence. If there's anything important, I'm just going to try to pull it out.
We covered most of the correspondence.
Yeah, we covered it. Yep. And tabled items, we won't touch that. Public appearances, we talked with Peter, and we have no public on the call right now?
No.
Okay, nobody on the call from the public, so... I'll make a motion to go into non-public.
Can I just ask
two
questions? Does a motion need to be made to sign those?
That you are...
For those water shut-off letters.
I believe. If we haven't made the motion, I'm going to make the motion again to sign the letters for certified mail to go to the individuals who are in arrears on their water bill over $1,000. There's a total of 4, I believe, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yep, 4 people. I'll make the motion. Do I have a second?
I'll second that.
This is a signature item. We have a second. Any further discussion or concerns? We all know what
the
letter looks like. That was set up.
Right. And so the letter basically states the water will be shut off by February 15th or whatever date we decided. Should we now go ahead, and we don't need to notice them, and at least start the process of having a lien attached to their properties?
Yes. Absolutely. Yep.
Okay. All right. So I know Linda kind of gave us some guidance on that, and I believe Donna reached out to NHMA and got the correct RSA that gives us the authority to do that. But do we kind of know what the next step is? Do we know what we have to do?
Yeah. So I believe after the let's see, it is not received by 2015. After the 15th of February, we'll have that paperwork in hand and ready to go to, I believe it's the Registry of Deeds where we file the liens.
The Carroll County, yeah.
Carroll County.
Okay. So we have the forms that we need that we can show that we've given them ample opportunity. I actually don't even think we have to do that. I think being a utility, that we can place the lien without sending them a certified letter. There's no other procedure that has to be followed prior to that.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Okay. My other question is, I just today in today's mail I received an absentee ballot. Should I send this back to the homeowner with the postponement notice?
So those are applications for absentee ballot, right? And you want
to
know
we can hang on to those.
On to those. Yeah, hang on to them.
Okay, now I have, just for clarification, when they send this, should they be sending me a copy of their license?
No, the checklist committee does that. They will check.
No, not on an absentee ballot.
Absentee ballot.
Yeah.
What does it say in the rule?
So when it comes to absentee ballots, if their name and address, which is listed here on the application, is not on the checklist that the checklist committee owns, then they're rejected or put aside.
So how do you verify? So do we have to verify that the person that signed it is? Do we need any documentation to prove the person is who they are?
So the signature on the application will be.
Mm-hmm.
Theoretically, will be matched up against the signature that they signed when they registered to vote in the town of Madison. There's a signature card, just like in a bank.
Okay, right. So they did try to match the signatures, or do you have to have a proof of like? Because I'm trying to remember, Kevin had to send back his copy of his driver's license. So I don't know if that was with the application for the absentee ballot, or was that with the actual absentee ballot itself.
No, that would probably be with the ballot. The actual ballot.
Well, just look at the application. The application would state whether they need to send it back with anything or not, doesn't it?
Right.
Like at the bottom, it should say on there somewhere.
Let me see.
Yeah, or it should say it on the ballot. I mean, I don't have it.
Okay,
we'd have to see. This year would be different, or even last year, what the ballot looked like.
Right.
Well,
the process
should be the same, though. I mean, it's the same idea. Like when you go to vote, you have to tell your license.
Attempt to vote using an absentee ballot who is not entitled to vote by the absentee ballot should be guilty of a misdemeanor, RSA 657:24.
Okay.
Yeah.
I couldn't really hear that.
Yeah, we can reach out to the checklist folks, the checklist committee in Madison, see how they handle that proof of that identifying the ID.
Okay, all right. And then, and what about the the candidacy? If anybody else, does that get put on hold now? And they can, when we do decide on the meeting, open up a new date for candidates, or how does that work?
Imagine we'd open up new dates. If somebody wants to apply now, I mean, why not accept it? I mean,
yeah, it's still good for now. Yep.
Yeah,
and if we open up a new date, then those who have applied now are still good. If they want to withdraw that have applied prior to the 29th, then they could probably do so.
Okay.
All right. Both time periods will be valid. Yep.
Okay.
I would agree with that.
All right.
Absentee. What did I do with that absentee ballot then?
Anything else?
I just want to let you know that I did reach out to Rick Skaranker yesterday to see where our disbursements were, and I heard back from him this morning that they have been sent to accounting for processing, and then. He didn't give me a date, but they are in the accounting's hands.
Okay, that's good to know. At least he approved everything, and it's in process, which is good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, anything else under the public session? All right, I'll make a motion that we go into non-public for 91A. Hang on, I'm going to my cheat sheet.
I think
91A, 32A. A is employee review.
Okay, I'll second.
Okay, all in favor say aye.
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 All right. So I'm going to give Kelly a call and have him come up if you guys will just vote for a minute.
You can stop the recording,
Don. Stop the recording, yeah. Great, thanks.